All right, so this right here is Derek, and this is going to be the first podcast I've ever made. And pretty much I want to see if I can get a series going. What I'm trying to do is make a podcast series about tarantulas, since I'm sort of new to it, but I'm reading a lot about it. Right now I'm currently have a bachelor's in biology, so I have some sort of biology background. Very interested in these tarantulas, arthropods, all sorts of things like that. Pretty much, I've been a tarantula keeper for 2-3 years now, and I currently have one Aphnopelma simoni, one Telocala albopilosum, and also a Nandu chromatis. And through keeping those three spiders, learned a lot about the different ones. What is crazy to me is seeing how different they are, not just with their individual personalities, but also, say, when you take the Nandu chromatis and you judge its temperament based off of that of a Aphnopelma simoni, you notice that the Nandu chromatis is more prone to give a threat pose. That's where the Aphnopelma simoni is more likely to go for just start away. And that really interests me because they come from different environments, but I'd say the environment of the Aphnopelma simoni is pretty similar to that of a Nandu chromatis, since they're both from South America. I know there are differences within that. For example, the Nandu chromatis comes from Brazil. Aphnopelma simoni does not come from Brazil. And yeah, so I also like the Telocala albopilosum. My reason for getting that one is because I know it's docile, and I wanted to have to grow two slings around the same time where I could have some sort of comparison to see not just how they are growing up from slings to adults, but also judge their temperaments, molts, and all sorts of things between two spiders of different species. And I thought that temperament was a big thing that I wanted to look at, so I got the temperament of the Nandu chromatis. It's not as aggressive as, say, an OBT, the orange ribbon tarantula, but it is known for being a tarantula that you shouldn't handle unless you're pretty much an expert in that field. So pretty much what I want this podcast to be is I want to use the knowledge that I have and knowledge that I'm learning and convey that accurately to whoever wants to listen. I know that there are lots of know-it-alls, and I don't want to be a know-it-all, especially in this, because I wouldn't want to give wrong or misleading information about tarantulas, given that this is sort of a new hobby in a way. This started out pretty much in the 70s, the tarantula trade, and I just want to make sure that the information I'm giving is going to be accurate in fun information. So if there's ever something that you'd like me to discuss about in this podcast, and I'd love to go through that. If you have any corrections for me that I should be looking at and saying, you know what, this information's probably not right, I should probably relook at something, then that's something that I want to do. Because with this platform, I want to make sure that I'm giving out some accurate information, especially since there are a lot of misconceptions about tarantulas out there. But I want to send this podcast out to as many places as I can. And pretty much my goal is just give more awareness of this really cool hobby. And pretty much do what I can to make this hobby more fun and expand it. I know that tarantulas, they're a lot different than dogs and cats. So people may not know much about them as much. And I know that a lot of people are scared of spiders. They used to be scared of spiders. Sure. So they got 8 legs. They run around. You can't really tell what they're thinking. But yeah, and that's also one of the reasons why I started keeping tarantulas, is because I used to not like spiders. So I said, okay, what I want to do is I want to overcome my not fear, definitely not fear, but I want to overcome my dislike for spiders. I got one. The first one I got was an Afanopoulos somani, and I got it from Petco. It is a female adult, and so far it's doing very well. I definitely see the unique tendencies that that species happens to have. I was pointing out with its behavior, and it's definitely an interesting, and I think a great first tarantula to have. Now, what I've heard from what tarantula you should keep at the start, if you're new, would be something like a Chilean rosehair, curly hair tarantula. One of those, definitely, you want to keep a New World tarantula. Pretty much what New World tarantula is, for those of you that do not know, these New World tarantulas come from the Americas, pretty much. And the Old World tarantulas come from Asia and I believe Africa. And pretty much, to put it simply, the Old World tarantulas lack some of the irritating hairs, but make up for that with their venom and their aggressive nature. Not saying that some New Worlds aren't aggressive, because there are definitely some aggressive New Worlds. For example, the Nandu chromatus sticks out, and that's one I know based off of experience. There's definitely more out there. But with the New Worlds, what they lack in aggressiveness, they make up for with their urticating hairs, which can do a lot of damage. Can do a lot of damage in terms of causing temporary blindness. If those bristles get into your throat, then that can do bad. And it could pretty much cause inflammation through whatever it touches. And its purpose is that it's used as a deterrent from prey to go in and get a tarantula. And I don't know how effective it is, but I'm pretty sure that it's definitely effective, and that's why tarantulas that have outlived the dinosaurs still have those hairs, or else they would probably lost them if they weren't that effective. Of course, it could be just a vestigial structure, but I'm sure they get a lot of use out of those irritating hairs. And yeah, so like I said, I have the Afanopoulos somani, the Tilikal albopilosum, and the Nandu chromatus. And as I mentioned earlier, the Nandu chromatus and the Tilikal albopilosum, which is also known as the curly-haired tarantula, those I have a sling, so they're currently a few months old, and they're doing great. I started saving the molts, and from saving those molts, I'm able to go and look back at them. What some like to do is look at those molts and determine the sex of the tarantula. And how that is done is when you look through the molt, you have to be careful because those molts can break easily. They're very fragile. So first thing you want to do is pour some water on it. Just a little bit, probably missed it. And then after that, you're going to want to use some tongs or some fine instruments for pulling. I think tweezers is the right word, but you're going to pretty much take a look at the epistosoma, which is the abdomen, and within that part of the molt, you're going to look at what are these book lungs, which look like four white patches, and on the epistosoma, and right at the top part of those book lungs, you will either see a flap or you won't. If you can lift that flap up, then what that is, the correct anatomical term for that, since there's just so many anatomical terms, but I'm sure I'll get that to you if you want. But if it has that flap, then it should be a female. And the difference between male and female tarantulas is that, well, tarantulas are considered an R species. When R species is it is a species of animal that produces a lot of offspring. And they produce a lot of offspring through their eggs. And of course, the reason they produce a lot of offspring is because they lose a lot of offspring. And so, yeah, some of those species are short-lived. but that's not always the case. Tarantulas surprise us. And what it turns out is that the male tarantulas live a lot shorter than the female tarantulas. Female tarantulas can live for decades in captivity, whereas the males barely exceed 5 years. I believe it's 3 to 4 years until they reach sexual maturity. And after that, they usually live for about 1 year. Their whole purpose during that maturity is to mate. And then after that, they're goners. They're gonna go. And I believe if I looked at it right correct last time, the reason why they die is just because it's hard for them to. Pretty much they lack energy and they die from what I get from that. So I'm still gonna have to do some research on that, but that's the whole thing of this podcast. It's just doing some research, conveying some good information. Pretty much what this podcast is. The first one is just going to be an introductory saying what I'm doing, sort of as like a pilot episode, giving what I want, seeing if I can develop a first episode. And if there's anyone that actually wants this content, and going from there. So, I guess a transition from this. Some tarantulas that I would want would be. I want a variety of species because my whole goal with keeping these tarantulas, especially coming from a bio major, having a big interest in research, I want to keep different varieties. So I'd want the old worlds, new worlds, obviously, and then just go from there off in variants. Of course, the baboon tarantulas are very interesting to me due to their aggressive nature. I like the challenge of keeping one of those. And yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. So definitely the orange baboon tarantula would be one that I would want to keep in the future. But it would not be a good first tarantula for a beginner because those are old world tarantulas and they are aggressive. So that would not be a good one to keep as a beginner. And also, what other tarantula would I want? Oh, the avicularia. Otherwise known as the pink-toed tarantula, which is another one that I want. Now, that one is pretty neat because it is an arboreal tarantula. And the thing with the arboreal tarantulas is, if you know the word arboreal is, means that they prefer to live in the trees. And one thing that I've noticed about the arboreal tarantulas versus a terrestrial tarantula, like the curly-haired tarantula. Their legs sort of differ in their structure. And I believe that difference has to go with the environment that they live in. Now, I know this goes for all species. I'm not one to make universal statements, but I do believe that that is meant for their environment being where they are. And yeah, so now I'm going to transition to a little break. And then I'll be back pretty soon. Okay, so after looking over that first string audio that I put together, I realized that I definitely need to pronunciate a little better than what I have been doing. And that's just me, that's just how I talk, so I'm gonna have to work on that. I'm also gonna have to, let me see. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do some more planning ahead of time as to what I'm going to be talking about. But like I said, this podcast. This first one is pretty much just seeing if there's a good audience out there for me to continue doing this. I am going to invest in a new mic in the future, but that all depends. This is, like I said, my very first attempt at a podcast, and I believe it's going fairly well. So, now I'm going to talk about my tarantula setup. So for the slings, what I have going is smaller boxes for them. What I started them out in were small plastic boxes. They had ventilation, of course, drilled through holes. And those holes were drilled on the side. They weren't drilled, but they were poked into the plastic. And pretty much the reason for putting them in on the side was so that way those tarantulas could get some cross ventilation, as opposed to if those holes were drilled into the top. And one thing to keep in mind when drilling those holes is to make sure that you're not making the holes too big for those slings to come out, because that is a possibility. And yeah, those slings are small, so hopefully you find them in time before something happens to them. And yeah, so the first tarantula that I started out with, which was the Aphanopelma simoni, I first got at Petco, and my original setup for that was putting it in cocoa fiber in a 10-gallon fish tank, and I had a screen mesh lid covering the top. And after doing some research over that, I realized that the mesh lid on top, it could be all right, but then again, it could not. Saying this from experience, and I have not had this experience yet, but I believe that is good information to keep out there if you're a cautious person. Pretty much this info that I got was that if you have a screen and your tarantula likes to climb on that screen, it's climbing upside down, then it could get its toes stuck in the and get its feet stuck into those mesh holes, and then dangle from there. It could lose a leg, fall, and tarantulas falling from heights, they don't fall like any true spider would. They're going to take a lot of damage when they fall because of how dense their bodies are. And yes, so another thing that I used to do was I used to keep a sponge in my enclosure, the Aphanopelma simoni. It would sink its fangs into the sponge and hydrate. And I soon realized that this is not necessary. The whole reason for having the sponge was to make sure that when you gave the tarantula water, it wouldn't drown. And pretty much what you need is a small bowl, a little water dish. It shouldn't be too deep at all, I'd say. A quarter of an inch max in depth. And pretty much the reason why tarantulas can have a risk of drowning is due to where their vital organs are in terms of breathing. The lungs, of course, their respiratory system just happens to be in the opisthosoma, which is the abdomen. So if since those lungs are on the bottom part of the abdomen, what happens is if it gets its body submerged in the water, since those lungs are going to be below the water, it could drown. And tarantulas, for the most part, when their lungs are like that, they have a harder time coming out. And that has to do with a few reasons, and I can get into that when I go and do my podcast over the tarantula physiology more in depth. But yeah, that's my setup for the adult tarantula. I put in a 10-gallon cocoa fiber. I understand that might be a little big, but the whole reason for being so limiting on size, from what I've gathered, is to make sure that when you present food to the tarantula, that the tarantula is able to get the food right away. And that's a big thing, since you're feeding the tarantula live food, most likely, like the worms and the crickets. You want to make sure that those worms or crickets are quickly removed if not eaten by the tarantula. And the biggest reason for that would have to be because when tarantulas molt, they become very vulnerable. And due to them being so vulnerable, their fangs have yet to really harden, or really truly be called fangs after they've molted. So that makes them And not only that, not only can they not really fight back, but they've lost a lot of energy from the molt. So even something as small as a cricket could really mess it up. And due to its open circulatory system, if a cricket were to puncture the tarantula or any type of animal, it could be a worm even. If it were to puncture the tarantula, all the hemolymph and fluid that tarantula needs to survive would find its way out. And that would not be good. So pretty much what I'm saying with that is there's a lot of critical information to know about keeping tarantulas. But for just like, yes, there's a lot of critical information that goes into keeping tarantulas, but they are pretty simple to keep. In fact, they do not require too much maintenance once you get a routine going. And even for slings that I have, it still doesn't require an extensive amount of maintenance. It just really comes down to responsibility. So now to talk about the upcoming topics I'm going to be talking about. Pretty much, I have a list of topics, and what it goes down to is naming versus the genus and the common names, the species, the old world tarantulas, new world tarantulas, comparison and contrast between the old world and the new world. Then I have like a broad version of physiology, specific physiology, determining whether tarantulas, not determining, but more like arguing or giving a point, throwing some information out there as to why tarantulas could be considered quote unquote smart, because I don't believe that using smart or intelligent is really an accurate word. In terms of something, something, blah, blah, blah. But also my future plans for keeping. Like I said earlier, I'm really into research, so I'll be looking at and reacting to some research, seeing what was found, and trying to show more information to the tarantula community. And then common misconceptions about tarantulas. And then more in-depth topics like commensalism in the environment with tarantulas. The history of the trade, from how they got started in terms of trading tarantulas as a pet. My thoughts on handling tarantulas, and also a new study going on about tarantula parasitology, which has to do with the study of parasites in tarantulas. And if any of that sounds interesting to you, then I suggest you tune in for another video podcast. And I'm not going to say promise, but pretty much I'm going to, yeah, promise that my podcast will be more organized and set up, especially since there's a clear topic on what I'm going to be talking about. It's going to be a lot better. So hopefully this interests you. And I think I rambled on for enough. And then we'll see if I get some more videos out, which I will. Thank you very much.